Hello, bold beauties, and welcome back to another episode of the Be Bold podcast. This podcast is designed to share the stories and amplify the voices of Black women, bring Black women to the face of the wellness game, and promote healthy living and mental health. So let's get started. So welcome back. This is episode 9 of the Be Bold podcast. And some of you might be thinking, where was last week's episode? What happened last week? Your girl needed to take a break, and I think Labor Day weekend was a perfect time for me to kind of sit back, relax, and kind of just take everything in that's been going on in my life. And so I decided, Labor Day, I know most of you guys are staying home, but whether you're distracted by the festivities with your families, may have not even clicked on that Sunday or Monday, but happy late Labor Day. And yeah, just one week back isn't too bad. So here we are. We are on episode 9, which means after this, after you finish listening to this episode, there's only going to be one more episode left for season 2. And all I don't have to say anything. I just want to clap real quick and clap for myself because I am just so grateful that we were able to get through 9 episodes. And yeah, so next week will be the last episode, and then we'll move on to different forms of content on the Be Bold podcast page on Instagram going into the fall. But all those updates will come. So this, another life update, I did start my master's in public health at Rutgers University, and I'm so excited. Within the first couple of weeks of school starting and everything to roll in, I was able to find a great group of girls virtually to be a part of a study group with. So that has eased my mind, I'm telling y'all, so much. I feel so much more comfortable going into this semester knowing that I was able to make, you know, at least a few starting out good friends, which means, you know, it's possible to create those study groups and connections and network virtually. So that's been good. That was another reason I took my break. I was still doing some stuff for school as the school year was rolling in, and it was Labor Day, so yes. So let's move on to the bold review. I think I have a really good one for today. All right, so this is the bold review, and today I wanted to talk about Stacktember. Yes, Stacktember. After a long, well, this year was pretty short. After a short summer of just trying to make the best of it, trying to have some fun how we could in the safest possible way, we ended up spending a lot more money than we needed to. And I saw a funny tweet or a meme, and it was like, the money I spent so much more money for someone who didn't leave the country. And that's facts. I don't know. I didn't know it would be that expensive to try to find fun things to do around, but it was. And so Stacktember is the time of year where we kind of just reevaluate our expenses. We reevaluate what's important to us, why we're spending money on certain things, and I love it. I don't think it had a name until this year. And one thing that people don't notice is that every year, around the end of August, the beginning of September, everyone starts to kind of reevaluate. And I think it's because we had like maybe 8 to 10 weeks of summer of just not caring, just wanting to have fun. But what's most important to us again? And that's because we're kind of getting into the fall. Things outside aren't looking as vibrant anymore. People are staying inside a lot more. And also because we spend a good chunk of time, more than 12 years, people are going on to their, you know, 16th year of school, where August and September, it's required for all of us to get back to the grind, get back to what we're doing, get back focused. But for those of people who are not in school, you still feel that urge, like, dang, it's the end of August, September, like, I'm used to doing something around this time, and I'm used to, you know, kind of getting more serious. So now we're in Stacktember. This is the 12th day, and I kind of want to ask y'all, how has that been? If you told yourself that it's important for you to save money going into this fall, if you vowed that Stacktember was going to be that time for you, what are the goals that you have accomplished? What have the struggles been, you know, with trying to save money or shifting gears from or shifting gears from a summer of spending to, you know, a fall of getting back to what you want to accomplish with your money. Now, I don't say that no one's been saving over the summer, because a lot of people have been making some great financial accomplishments, but we have to note that when we see people on their financial accomplishments, it takes a lot of accountability, it takes a lot of responsibility, it takes a lot of dedication and discipline to even make and commit to money management and savings goals. And it's funny, because on the flip side of that, if you don't prioritize your saving, it builds up a pile of stress that can really blow up in a way where it's like, if you don't attend to financial stress or financial responsibilities, you kind of get, not even kind of, you get completely thrown off. You spend in 6 months, you know, 7 months ignoring a bill, it might go to collections. Like, there's a bunch of other things that can stack up on financial stress. So I bring this up to say, financial stress is like one of the leading causes to divorce. It's one of the leading causes to stress, and especially now more than ever, us living through a pandemic, and the country is currently in the worst financial state. We basically have the worst economy that we've ever had. And there is a million and one reasons why someone wouldn't want to open up their bank account, why someone wouldn't want to prioritize financial or money management skills, because they don't have that money to do it with. And that is a very real thing. So I want to also acknowledge that there's some people who are not in a position to be able to say, I'm going to save this amount of money, or I'm going to, whenever I get my next check, I'm going to do this with my money. I want to just make sure everyone knows that that's a privilege to be able to even do, to be able to sit down and organize your expenses, right? To even have expenses and bills and stuff like that to organize, I think we should all take advantage of it. And I'm saying this not only to y'all, but to me. This is also a reminder to me. I'm holding myself accountable for being able to save and doing, you know, what my Stacktember goals were to accomplish. Now, so with that, I definitely wanted to read off some stats that I thought were interesting that I found on bestmoneymoves.com. And at the end of this, I'm going to recommend some people, but there are so many resources out there for financial money management skills. And I think that's because our generation, millennials, didn't grow up with that being taught in schools. And so obviously people found and created different ways for us millennials and people older than us to kind of digest this information. Nowadays, youth who are adolescents in middle school, honestly in elementary school, middle school, and in high school, at least in New Jersey, are required to learn those money management skills. So don't take it too hard on yourself if you do not know where to start when it comes to kind of just getting your finances together. We weren't taught it. So just some 5 fast financial stress statistics from bestmoneymoves.com. So 41% don't set aside any money for their household retirement plan. I'm in that 41%. I have no money set aside for a retirement plan, but there are, like I said, resources that you can look up and find out how you can do that with either your job or just your own personal retirement plan. So 25% have charged their credit card for groceries/food and not been able to pay it off right away. So let me just go back to the first one. The first one, with not setting aside money for a retirement plan, the way that can create stress, you might be living in the moment, but when you retire, you don't want to work. And there's a lot of retirees who still have to go out and find jobs because they don't have enough money put away in their retirement plans. Okay, so that's what I wanted to get off, one. And two, charging your credit card for unnecessary expenses, like, well, groceries are necessary, but that's something that you don't want to have to pay on your credit card. And 25% of Americans usually do that. Number three, 33% said it would take more than 3 years to pay their credit card debt. Now, I can stand in the, I don't care for the whole credit card thing. I know it's important for me to have good credit, but you should never be in a position to where the money that you're basically choosing to have, because you have to apply for a credit card, you know how much money you're about to get approved for and what you're signing for. The fact that you can't pay the money off on a credit card for 3 years using a payment plan, there's something hugely wrong with that. There's a huge problem with that. 29% said that if they needed $2,000 for an emergency, they would use a credit card. Number five, 20% of those children in childcare said the cost is as expensive as or more expensive than their monthly rent or mortgage payment. So the fact that childcare is even costing that much in this country, that's a whole different issue, but that's also, these are things that cause stress in people's lives. If you don't take the proper steps to kind of confronting where you're going wrong with money management. You're the only one spending your money, to be honest, unless someone's scamming you and getting something out of it. So I wanted to share three tips that I'm going to be using to get back on to my money management and get back onto my grind when it comes to reaching my savings goals. And these three are very just light goals, but they get you started. And all you need to do is get started and then you can fall into the information. So the first thing is to face your fears. Open up that bank account, yes. If you have multiple bank accounts, open up each one. If you get mailed your bank statements, open up those letters. I know it's easy to ignore because, you know, you feel like they're just statements. And look through all your expenses. Look through, even maybe look only at the last month if you don't want to be too overwhelmed. But if you're ready for it, look over for the last 3 months. Kind of see what the trends were in your spending. See and identify what the needs and the wants were with your spending. And then that brings me to the second step, is reevaluate the purpose of your purchases and what your financial goals exactly are. Now, you might be someone whose financial goal is only to build up their savings account. Okay, do your purchases reflect, is the way that you're moving your money, is that reflecting your savings goal of saving $10,000, $10,000? So then that's one. So then all that takes is honestly opening up your TD Bank app, your Chase app, and looking through the bank statements on it. You also want to look through to see if you were scammed in any way. I know one time I went on my TD Bank app and saw some purchases that I didn't make, and no, not even to be funny, like I didn't make these purchases, and so I was able to get that money back, and that saved me some more money for the next upcoming months. But the third step might take a little more work, but as you're already sitting down, you're already going through your TD Bank app, you're already looking at all the Amazon purchases, and you're figuring out that you only used that gel nail kit for one time, and you didn't really need to buy it. You didn't use that face mask the way you wanted. All the weights you wanted, they're dusty in the corner, which I suggest you pick up. But reevaluate the things you bought from Amazon, what you really needed, and think about what you really want out of your financial situation. Yes, and so that brings the third step, is creating the budget. You just need to know where your money is going every single month. You don't need to get these random notifications, this person took out money, this bill. I know streaming services can kind of get out of hand when you want to have a little bit of everything, when you want to have the Netflix, the Hulu, Disney Plus. But just having Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus makes sense for your $10,000 savings goal. I'm only saying that because that's a savings goal. But just that reevaluation and then creating the budget, prioritizing the bills, and just getting everything done and paid on time. And remember, I'm saying this not only for y'all, but for me, because I'm going to be, you know, restarting that Stacktember and restarting prioritizing the financial, you know, my financial goals. And honestly, if you don't end up reaching your financial goals this year, don't even be mad at yourself. Even take this as a practice. We literally are in a recession. But if you even do one of the things that I named, open your bank account, if you face that fear, if you reevaluate those purchases and that's all you do, at least you started something and you did something about it. Now, don't look at your bank account if you know for sure it's going to turn you and put you into depression. Don't, if that's your situation. But if you are in the point where you can, definitely try it out. So let's move into the thoughts of an introverted Black girl segment. Okay, y'all. So today, we'll talk about a little bit of a heavier subject. We're going to talk about Suicide Prevention Month, Suicide Awareness Day, Suicide Prevention Week, which has all happened in the month of September. Suicide Prevention Week is from September 6th to 12th. And Suicide Awareness Day is on September 10th. So a lot of this has happened in the last 2 weeks, And this is a very important topic to talk about, especially this being a mental health podcast. And it's super, even 10 times more important time to talk about it because we are in the midst of so much stuff going on that is getting at us mentally. And despite, I want to say this too. If you see people staying in, if you see people going out, if you see people still trying to meet people, if you see, you have to understand that every single person living right now is living for their survival, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And I say that because telling someone you can just do it next year doesn't pertain to every single subject or every single facet of life. For example, if you know for sure that this year you were not able to do school because you were not a remote learner, you have to be in the classroom, that is devastating for someone to know. And just to be like, oh, you have to put it off next year, that is hard. And so people are trying to find and grab on to a sense of normalcy during this time. And I think that we have to normalize the fact that that's the situation we're in. That being said, mental health is super important to prioritize right now because a lot of people, all we have to do all day is think. Those of us who are quarantining and prioritizing, you know, staying to ourselves and wanting to do more for ourselves is a lot of time to think. And so let me start with some African American. We have some suicide prevention facts. So an overview, in 2014, 2,421 African Americans died by suicide in the U.S. Of these, 1,946 were male, and the overall suicide rate per 100,000 was 5.4 suicides. Okay, so I'm not gonna read up all these facts, but the suicide rate for African Americans aged 10 to 19 was 3.1 per 100,000. For African American youth ages 10 to 19, the rate of male suicides was 2.9 times higher than the rate of females. Firearms were the predominant method of suicide among African Americans, regardless of sex or age, accounting for 47.42% of suicides. Suffocation was the second most prevalent method. And I want to say, while I was doing some research about suicide prevention for African American women specifically, there was not that much research on it. And I was like, okay, this is strange. But then I actually ran into an article that I was reading where it's like, where it mentioned there isn't a lot of research on women, Black women and suicide, just because they're not as much counted in the study. Suicide and even mental health in general has, I'll just call it like a white cloud over it. White people have the privilege to be able to prioritize their mental health, whereas Black people do not. And I think that the reason why the rates are lower for Black people than for white people is because Black people have the expectation even of themselves to keep going when they can't. And I was like, okay, and that kind of made me really, really understand, even when we talk about the strong Black woman, strong Black man, it is just more likely that white people are going to commit suicide. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because I think that's kind of a dangerous message to send, because despite what the actual research shows, like I said, they're not really doing that much research on African Americans and mental health at all anyway, but all the risk factors for suicide are things that African Americans deal with on a daily basis. And if you listened to episode 2, where I had my cousin Akuna Akiri on, happy belated birthday to her. Her birthday was on the 10th. But I had her on and we talked about Black mental health. And one of the things I said was a lot of risk factors for a lot of mental health disorders are things that Black people go through on a day-to-day basis. And if we don't try to sit or acknowledge when we see changes in behavior from our friends and our family, it's never going to be a priority to anybody. And I think that the first step is understanding what these risk factors look like understanding kind of what they feel like. And also just, we need to denormalize stress. We need to denormalize the strong Black woman facade, because I'm definitely going to call it a facade. And we need to really start prioritizing. So let me just read off some risk factors. And I'm not saying that if you know one person going through, you know, one of these things that they're going to commit suicide. I'm not. I'm saying that the culmination of these things, or, you know, depending on what the degree in which they're feeling this, could be a risk factor and they could need some serious help. So psychological distress, well, the risk factors are psychological distress, substance abuse, access to lethal means such as firearms, social isolation, homelessness, exposure to violent family dysfunction, maladaptive coping skills, exposure to racial inequality, history of suicide attempts. African Americans have been found to utilize mental health services irregularly due to partly to be limited. Okay. African Americans have been found to utilize mental health services irregularly due in part to limited access to services as a result of lack of proximity to services, lack of insurance coverage, mental health stigma, distrust of doctors and medical establishments. And I think we all know that. Everyone talks about how hard it is to find a therapist. It's loops and bounds just to find someone to speak to. And then when you find someone to speak to, you have to hope that they're within your insurance and coverage so that you are not paying $500 out of pocket just to talk to somebody. And that's just not the reality for a lot of African Americans. So as we see these risk factors, as we see these things pop up in our life, let's acknowledge, you know, let's acknowledge when those things hurt us, right? Because what I think is a great tool to be more empathetic is to realize how situations personally affect you. And if you see that situation affecting someone else, you can acknowledge, you know, I'm that time not saying this to them. You don't need to tell them at the time it happened to you that was sad because it's inconsiderate. But just know, okay, I understand how it feels to just want to do things by myself. Let me just offer some help and step back. And sometimes that's all you have to do. So as we work to make services more, you know, available, as we work to make mental health more normal and just normalize talking about it, we really can save our community, and we're going to be the only ones that can save our community, because every single doctor, every single counselor who, you know, is not living our Black female experience is going to put that stereotype of the strong Black woman. They are. And they're going, and whether or not they consciously are doing it, it's, you know, it's a racial bias, and so it's going to come into their work. Speak to someone who understands your experience and stop trying to feel like you have to do it all yourself. And those are kind of just some tips if you're struggling with depression or anxiety or just a huge amount of stress that you feel like you cannot get rid of. Stop feeling like you have to do it all yourself. You might not have to be in this moment, go and call a therapist and say you need to talk. You might have to cry it out. But if you can just even sit and acknowledge within yourself, I don't have to be this stressed out. I don't have to work on this by myself. That's the first step. And I think it's tragic that people get to a point of hopelessness that they feel like they have to take their life. And, you know, I've felt hopeless before, and I didn't feel like I had to take my life. So it just has to be an unexplainable amount of distress and dysfunction going on for you to feel like you can't, you know, feel like you can't express yourself. I feel like the conversation of hopelessness and not really knowing what to do is super important to acknowledge. Black youth and Black members of the LGBTQ community, just because we see the violence against them, we see the violence, we see violence against other Black people all the time, but their violence is not taken seriously. The way people attack that community for things that they cannot change is beyond me. Like, if you're listening to this and you feel like you have to go out of your way to make someone else feel worse about themselves because of, you know, their lifestyle, I mean, you're the kind of like the worst type of person. Like, it's not that serious to me. But this oftentimes leaves young Black youth who are part of the LGBTQ community feeling hopeless. Like, I don't know if anyone's watched that show Pose, but I watched Pose, and you watch these shows, and they kind of have like a truth behind it. But the leading star in Pose, I'm forgetting his name, he actually said that what happened a lot of in that first season was his life. Like, he was actually kicked out of his home. He actually had to find somewhere to stay. And that's why they create these community within themselves, like the LGBT community. They create these houses and this culture to protect their own from things like this, from going through the stress of, you know, being a part of that community. So I want to really acknowledge that, too. And I don't think everything about suicide prevention is kind of, oh, you just need to be a kinder person to other people. That's not going to, that might help someone's situation, but some of the things that cause you to be that depressed and that hopeless, you can't even control. And so what I just want to normalize the conversation of, you know, I'm not feeling it because of this. And I feel like that having that conversation, whether it's between you and your siblings, whether it's between you and your friends, letting people know where you're at, you know, is a great way to kind of create a safety plan for yourself. And so I wanted to, you know, end off this segment talking about the importance of safety plans. And if you listen to season one, episode three, I had an episode talking about emotional safety plans, just different things that I do different things I have in place, you know, for me to do when I'm just feeling super anxious so I just don't fall in this like pit of despair. And I kind of think I had this idea from, you know, people making safety plans just for their personal selves when they go through these battles with depression and, you know, trying to still hang on though they are still feeling hopeless. So I wanted to leave you guys off with like a couple of tips that you can probably use or share with someone you love to help them save their life. All right, so creating a safety plan. So I got some of these ideas from verywellmind.com, and obviously kind of just maps out some great ideas about creating a suicide prevention plan. Now, if you're listening to this, if you have ever had thoughts of suicide, if you are, you know, if you know someone who's been struggling, I don't really mean to bring this up to trigger you. I really want to bring this up for you to utilize or, you know, work on or maybe consider working on, right? I always think the best thing, the first step is kind of realizing and, you know, moving from there. So you have to create a list. This is something you want to write down. Like, I think when you write things down, you're committing to it. So when you write down a suicide prevention plan, you're saying that you want to continue working, and despite everything that you're going through in this life, you want to keep moving forward and see, you know, what the great things that life has to offer you. Okay, so just one of the plans, kind of create a list of activities that you can do that are soothing when you're upset. So maybe listen back to season one, episode one or three, where I talk about emotionally safety plans and get some ideas from there. I kind of talk about some ideas. It might be listening to music, exercising, you know, taking a bath, any of those things like that. Then create a list of reasons for living. And not only people who are suicidal, but other people do this as well. We tend to always think about the negative things that are happening in our life when there seems to be so many negative things going on at one time. But there usually is some sort of positive that you can pull through, whether it's one. But list the reasons you have for living. Three, have a trusted contact information. So keep a list of contacts you can talk to if you're unable to distract yourself with the self-help measures we listed prior to. So whether that's a parent, sibling, friend, mentor, you know, pastor, whoever you know you can call and will be able to help talk you down. And this is probably someone you can share, you know, I don't know how you would bring this up or if you'd feel comfortable bringing it up, but hey, you know, I have not been feeling that good. I created a suicide prevention plan. I wanted to let you know or ask you if you could be an emergency contact for me.
that can be a way you present it if you feel comfortable, or if you already know those people who you can call, or if you ever actually just call someone and needed to share help, use those people as your people. And then create a list of professional resources that are available. So whether that's one, the suicide prevention hotline, which is 800-273-TALK, which is 800-273-8255. So that can be on the top list. You can also go to nationalsuicideprevention.org.com and you can look up some information on suicide prevention there. Yes. Okay. So, and also make your environment safe. If you are considering harming yourself, make sure you get away from anything that you can use to harm yourself. If that is a firearm, if that is legal drugs you shouldn't have, if that is alcohol, move yourself away from those things. So I hope that you guys are able to use those tips or share those tips. And anyone, like I said, who's listening, who may be struggling a little more right now, especially in the midst of this pandemic, especially with being super lonely, I want to tell you that we want you here. Everybody wants you here. Despite how absolutely trash this entire year has been, despite all of that, it is so important for you to keep fighting and for you to prioritize your mental health at this time. Because even all the risk factors for suicide that I read off, a lot of people, a lot of Black women are facing those very, very head on. Honestly, all of America is too right now. So I understand if you need resources. I always try to have resources down below in regards to Suicide Prevention Month. So we will put those down in the description. And just to go back for the bold review real quick, I want to recommend two podcasts. One of them, well, I want to recommend one podcast and then, you know, one person follow on Instagram. One of them is called Earn Your Leisure, where two Black men sit down and discuss all types of topics in finance. The only reason I haven't started it yet, because I feel like they're going to give me so much information that I'm going to need to sit down with a notebook and pen, and I really want to focus when I listen to them. So that's one. And then also, please, 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 I think I mentioned her earlier, and she has been a bold woman on Bold Woman Wednesday, the Budget Nista. She is a powerhouse when it comes to all things finances. She, in the beginning of the pandemic, she actually was teaching people how to file for unemployment who've never filed it before. She was doing things like that. So just follow those people on Instagram, listen to those podcasts, and start to get a head start on creating your goals, and then you can go from there. But everybody, have a blessed day, have a blessed week, and I will see you next week for the final episode of the Be Bold Podcast Season 2. Thank you. Bye.